And I encourage you to open your Bibles this evening to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul writing to Timothy in regard to preaching the Word of God. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." There are several things that are related from the Apostle Paul down to the young preacher Timothy in these writings, and we've had a few clashes on that in recent months. Also, some things that Paul said to Titus concerning teaching and some things to teach in certain areas. We all understand that teaching the Word of God is a very important work. Recently at Beulah, for several weeks, Wednesday evenings now, several months, there have been different men teaching the Bible class. And I commend each man who's taught. Everyone has done a good job. And Jan, I know, has encouraged you to take a part, and you've willingly done so, and that's good. We have women here who are good teachers, who are capable of teaching the children and the young people in the classes, and we're thankful for that. But this evening I'd like to talk just a few minutes about teaching the Word of God. And we'll combine it somewhat between the teaching aspect and the preaching aspect of it. We'll look at some scriptures that talk about preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, and also on a basis of maybe in a class setting or from the pulpit, and also in the home or a private class with someone. It's important that we continue as Christians to grow, that we become better teachers. And if you haven't been teaching, that you would desire to become a teacher. And as we learn to teach, as we learn more of the Word of God, we realize then as we grow our limitations, we are limited in certain aspects of what we can teach. There are subjects in the Bible that I would not tackle the subject to teach it. I'd be glad to sit in a class and study with someone and discuss it, but there's some subjects that are harder perhaps to teach than others. There are no doubt some books in the Bible that are harder to teach than others. And as we begin this class this evening, I don't have the answers for the correct protocol or the correct things to do to become a good teacher or a good preacher, but there's a few things I've observed over the years that I would like to share with you, observed with other preachers and teachers and class teachers, and things we've learned from the Bible concerning the importance of teaching the God's Word. Now, there are many in this building this evening who are more capable of standing up here and teaching this class about teachers. We have teachers here who could teach us how to teach. We have principals here who could teach us how to teach and how to follow a curriculum, follow a certain design study. And that, I understand there are rules and regulations in any aspect of teaching, that there are certain rules to go by. There's a certain curriculum to follow, and we have to stay within the bounds of that. There's only so much you can expand on it. And so in the Word of God, it's the same way. The curriculum is to teach the truth, the Word of God, and don't go outside of it. Don't leave anything out, but teach the whole truth and nothing but the truth about that particular subject that we're studying, or whether we're just teaching a verse for verse and right out of the Bible, that we would teach the whole truth. And let the Bible do the teaching. Let us be the one that relates it from the Word of God to someone else as they listen. But always let the Word of God be out in the forefront as we teach the Word of God. So, preparing to teach the Word of God. I have a duty to teach, and you have a duty to teach. From the time we're baptized into Christ, and we become a child of God, and we begin to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. As we grow, and as we gain knowledge, and as we develop ability, then we have a responsibility to teach. It may be that we teach our sister, or our brother, our neighbor, our children, our parents. It may be that we eventually teach in a class, in a public setting. Maybe that we eventually teach from the pulpit or preach from the pulpit as men. So it is not only a duty to preach, but it is a privilege and a blessing. It's not only a duty to teach as a Christian, but it is a privilege. It is a blessing that God has bestowed upon us that we might share with others the Word of God that's able to save our soul. So we need the idea of that in our mind, set in our mind that I'm willing to learn how to teach. I'm willing to teach, and I want to teach, and help me to learn how to become a teacher. And when I start teaching, help me to learn to become a better teacher. Help me to grow in knowledge. The prayers that are prayed very often. Praise for me that I may grow in knowledge. I'm thankful for that. I need to grow in knowledge. And all of us need to grow in that. Matthew 28:19-20, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to do." So when Jesus gave the command to go and teach the gospel, Mark 16:15-16 talks about going and preaching the gospel to all the world. But in Matthew 28:19-20, when Jesus gave the command to go and teach, when people are taught then and they understand, they're to be baptized. And once they're baptized, they're to what? They're to be taught again. They're to be taught more. So there's the teaching to explain to someone what God requires, and that teaching of that word develops faith. And when they submit to that word, as it was with the Ethiopian eunuch that we mentioned this morning, they are baptized into Christ. And then we're to go forward then teaching those who have been baptized. 2 Timothy 2:2 that we read at the beginning of our lesson this evening, Paul told Timothy, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So when we're taught, we learn, we have a responsibility to teach. When we teach others and they are taught and they learn, they have a responsibility to teach, and we have a responsibility to teach those that we have taught, that they would learn more as we are older and more mature than they are, that we would share the Word of God with them. Go to Titus 2. Titus 2:4-5. As Paul wrote to Titus in regard to men and women, older men and older women, the responsibility of teaching younger men and younger women and teaching them the Word of God. Titus 2:4. Well, let's go back to verse 1, really. Titus 2:1. "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." He's telling Titus to speak the things that are proper for sound doctrine as a minister. "Now then, when you do this, that older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given much wine, teachers of good things." There's some things that will be taught from the pulpit, from the class setting on an individual basis, from parents to children, from Christians to others. There are people that are to be taught, and then these people that are taught are to do what? They are to become teachers of good things. These women were to become teachers of good things, that they may admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, verse 5. "Chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Exhort the younger men to be sober-minded." And so, teaching the Word of God. Teaching the Word of God from the older to the younger. In the home, in the community, in the church, in the world as we go from place to place. So we have a duty to teach the Word of God in every aspect of life, both publicly and privately. So we talk about teaching and preaching this evening. It has to come, to begin with the right kind of attitude. When we're baptized into Christ, we have the attitude that we want to go to heaven. We're excited. We want to do God's will. Along with that should be that enthusiasm and that desire and that attitude to say, "I'm going to become a teacher of the Word of God." And incidentally, we are going to be teachers one way or the other, either bad or good, by the way that we live, the way we talk, the way we act, the people we associate with. People are going to be seeing lessons in our life. We're teaching, whether we're teaching publicly or behind a rostrum or in front of a class or not, we're teaching by our example. But we need that attitude, an attitude of faith and love and obedience to God to say, "I am willing to learn to teach. I want to teach my children. I want to teach others. So I want to learn how to teach." As we talk about teaching this evening and preaching, understand that every one of us has a different personality. W.A. may teach a class, and he's going to teach the truth of God's Word. He may approach it a little bit differently from me. He may word it a little bit different from me. He may cover it a little bit differently from me. You're going to have that from different gospel preachers. You're going to have that with different teachers. You're going to have that with different age and maturity. There's going to be a little difference. But the key is, if the truth's being taught, there may be a little bit difference in the way it's presented, but it's still the truth. Paul taught. Peter taught. Timothy taught. Titus taught. They were to, Titus and Timothy were to follow Paul's example as a preacher and a teacher, and so he taught them and he encouraged them to imitate him. But no doubt everyone's going to be a little bit different in their approach. Some may use more notes. Some may not use any. Someone visited Sewell Hall a few years ago in Atlanta, Georgia. And they went in to visit him, and he happened to be in his office at the church building. And they went by, and they went in, and Sewell was back there working on some things for the some bulletins and some lessons. And they went in, and they got to talking to Sewell. And so they were noticing some little cards, little index cards. And the guy was sitting in front of Sewell's desk, and he looked at those index cards, and he got to looking on that one index card, one side. There was four sermons on one side of an index card. And he said, Sewell, is that four sermons? Well, yeah, I got four more on the back. I mean, sometimes preachers, they don't need but one word, some of them, and they've got a whole sermon. Some of them don't need but a few verses, and they've got a whole sermon. I'm not different. I'm not that way. I don't have that knowledge. But you see, preaching and teaching is there, and so we need to be teaching the Word of God. A mind to work, a mind to teach. We need to be teaching. Look at the world around us. There's a lot of prayers been prayed here at Beulah the last several months about our nation and the way people are heading and the disregard for God and the Word and the truth, it seems, among a lot of people. So there's a lot of people that need to be taught. We need to be taught in the church, and the world needs to be taught. Look at 1 Timothy. Go over there to chapter 4, and let's look at verses 12 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning of verse 12. Where Paul tells Timothy as a young preacher, you know, this is your responsibility as a minister. Verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example of the believers. Remember what I said earlier? We got to be a good example. We're teaching one way or another. He says, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So the attitude is that I'm going to take God's word in my life. You're going to take God's word in your life, and you're going to obey it. You're going to live as best you can to obey the word of God so your conduct is in keeping with the will of God, that you're being a good example. And while you're doing that, you're going to study, you're going to meditate, you're going to learn, you're going to take heed to yourself, continue the thing that's taught. And while you're doing that, we're going to be sharing it with other people verbally. So the teaching of the word of God is very important. A good attitude. And then with this good attitude that we have, We need to prepare ourselves. Prepare ourselves to obey the Word of God ourselves, be obedient to it. And so as we set that good example, we grow and we become teachers of the Word, not only by example, but also verbally. And as we teach verbally the Word of God, it's going to have an effect on those who hear us. And it's not only going to have an effect on them, it's going to have an effect on us because we are teaching the Word of God. Again, Matthew 5:13-16 emphasizes the fact that people are looking, they are learning something from us, either good or bad. We're teaching good or bad. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and that you may glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let's teach by good example by obeying the Word, and let's teach by good example then by living it as we just read, and also sharing it with others and teaching that word. Look back to 2 Timothy 2 again, and let's go to verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. And let's read verses 22 through 26. He tells Timothy there, and this is in regard to being a good example and also teaching the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. patient. Listen to what Paul's telling Timothy. There are some things going on. There may be some things that people come to you at and want to quarrel and fight over the Scriptures, and you need to stay with what the Word says. Don't get in a quarreling fight with someone over the Scriptures. Teach it. Those who want to listen to it will. Those who are going to come up against it, they're going to come against it hard, and there's no need fighting with them and coming to fist or anger or quarreling in that way. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Verse 25, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. There's a reason to teach the truth, that others may come to a knowledge of the truth and obey it, that error may be overcome, that those who may be wrong might learn the truth and be able to come out of error and practice the truth. Verse 26. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So we have a responsibility to share the word with others. So are we going to prepare ourselves to be teachers? Are we going to make ourselves ready to teach the word of God? Well, just a few thoughts on why to teach the word of God. All of you know what the Bible says, and so do I, about our duty to teach. Well, we need to teach the word of God because it is a command. It was commanded to the apostles. It was commanded in the Limited Commission. It was commanded in the Great Commission. It is commanded from the verses that I read in Timothy, where we're to teach people who will be good, faithful men who also can teach others. When Titus talks about the fact that here are older women who are going to do what? Who are to teach younger women. So it's a command to teach the Word of God. Not only that, we have Bible examples of people who taught others. So we have that biblical example. That's a Bible example for us to teach others also, such as Philip teaching the eunuch, or Peter teaching Cornelius in his household, or the Christians at Jerusalem who were scattered abroad because of persecution in Acts 8 and verse 4. And what did they do? They went everywhere teaching the Word. So we have command and example to teach the Word of God. We need to teach because we believe God's Word is the truth. We don't only believe it, we know it's the truth. It's proven by time. It's proven by history. It's proven by the testimony of inspired men that this Word is true. And what do we want to do? We want to share the truth with others. Why do we want to share the truth with others? Because the truth will set people free from sin. It can set us free from ignorance. It can set us free from wrongdoing. It can set us free from error. It can set us free from sin if we'll obey it. So there's a reason to teach the Word of God. We need to teach the Word of God because saving souls, whether it's bringing people to Christ and baptizing them into Christ, or whether it's bringing them back from those who may have gone into error, saving souls requires teaching the Word of God. Romans 1:16, Romans 10:17, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. We can't have faith without hearing the Word of God. We can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6. So the gospel is for everyone. We need to hear the Word of God because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we can't please God. We can't come to Him without faith. So we need to teach the Word of God. And the fifth point concerning why we need to teach, and this is by far not all the reasons, but just a few of the main ones, that when we teach the Word of God, it is an opportunity for the teacher to be helped by the teaching that teacher does, and also the student, him or herself that's being taught, will also be a better person because we are teaching and we are being taught. Look to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to take of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the Lord, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul saying, it does him good to teach the word because it keeps him going, because he's doing what God told him to do, and it's going to help those who he teaches. The word of God is good for the teacher, and it's good for the student. Look at verse 14, and let's read through verse 19. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overflow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Teaching the Word of God will bring people out of error. It'll bring people out of a lost condition. It'll bring them back to Christ. It will help the one who's doing the teaching, and it'll help those who are being taught. We need to be teaching the Word of God because God asked us to do that, and we need to be thankful that we've had the opportunity to do such. Well, I want to give you a couple of slides this evening in the next 5 or 6 minutes and just look at a few points I'm giving out here. Bear with me. A few points about preparing for and teaching God's Word. And these are just going to be some things that I've noticed over the years, and perhaps you've noticed in regard to being a good teacher and learning how to teach, that we've witnessed in other Christians and other teachers and older members and those who have taught us and preachers. First of all, and then with several different points, when we're going to be teachers, we need that desire. We go forward. I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn God's Word. And I have that desire to do so. I'm willing to do so. I'm willing to teach. So here's what I need to do. I need to read. And I need to study. Right, James? I need to read. I need to study. If we're going to teach the Word of God, it's going to take some getting into the book. And I know many of you get into the book. And some of you, I'm really amazed at how much you know. And I feel... I'm so thankful we have people here who are so knowledgeable. Keep going. Keep it going. Read and study. Attend Bible classes to learn more. Then read. And you're going to hear this read and study a lot, because it's not going to do any good to sit in a Bible class if we don't read and study. It's not going to do any good to attend an algebra class if we don't read and study. It won't do much good to attend a world history class if we don't read and study. We need to read and study. Read and study and attend Bible classes. Read and study and listen to lessons. The lessons like Jay taught last Wednesday night. A young man did a good job. He studied for that lesson. He delivered it in a fine way. Had a lot of scriptures tied in with Proverbs from the New Testament that worked right in with it. And we read those scriptures and we were reading and studying with him and listening to each other. Read and study and correctly, rightly apply the Word of God. Who's speaking? Who's being spoken to? What's the subject matter? What's the situation? Is it Jesus speaking to the Jews? Is it Paul speaking to the Gentiles? Was it Moses speaking to the children of Israel? People, places, and things. Read and study the Bible and study a few different versions. Read it. There's at least 3 versions that are scriptural, that we know are scriptural. There's probably a couple others that are mostly scriptural. But when you get past those 4 or 5, it begins to get off the point that they leave some of the verses out. They don't have the same meaning. But King James, New American Standard, New King James, some revised versions. And you can talk to brethren who have studied, and you can find out which versions are still according to the Word of God, that hadn't had something taken out or something added to. So, read and study some different versions. It's amazing how much more it says to us sometimes if we read from the New American Standard or the New King James versus as we used to read from the King James all the time. when the words are changed from thou to you, or it's written in a as we speak today, but it's still got the same meaning it had then. It's easier to understand sometimes for people. Use a reliable dictionary, and I mean by a reliable dictionary, if you're using a Bible dictionary, make sure that it's one that when you read the meaning of that word, it coincides with the meaning of what that word is in that text. Well, we need to be careful. Because sometimes the meaning, as we've had that a couple of times in Proverbs already, the meaning of a word may be meaning one thing in the verse or in the context, but you read the word and a certain meaning out of the dictionary, and it may have a different meaning from what it's meant to me in the Scripture. So keep it in context. Use a reliable dictionary. Use a reliable concordance and a reliable pronunciation. And I'm the world's worst at pronouncing names wrong. And I've got a couple of versions I like to preach out of. It's got the names broken down. You know, it's got the short and the long vowel. And it's got everything hyphened out. And it's pronunciation key, and I like. But those two Bibles are wore out in pieces and falling apart. I need to buy me another one so I don't just run through some of these words. But a few points then about teaching the Word of God. And then when we look at all these things, continue to read, study, listen, and learn. Studying doesn't ever end. Learning doesn't end. Continue to read. Continue to study. Continue to learn. Continue to listen. Listen to what Adam has to say in class. And what our teacher this Wednesday night will have. Listen to others who are Christians that are older than us who know. Listen to the Word of God and learn. Well, another point or two. Always be mindful of our responsibility when it comes to teaching the Word. Now, when you're teaching your husband or your wife, or we're teaching our children, or we're teaching in the church in a class setting, or in a classroom, or from the pulpit. My duty as a Christian, and the Word of God teaches that my duty as a Christian, as well as the gospel preachers, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, and teach it with love, and teach it with care, and teach it because I have a desire to go to heaven, I have a desire to others to learn it, and teach it with humility. And the same applies for you. But here's the thing. Bear in mind that teachers of the Word of God are that. They are teachers of the Word of God. We are Christians. We are teachers of the Word of God. We're not policemen. We're not detectives. We're not lawyers. We're not a judge. And we're not a jury. But some people sometimes will try to teach the Word of God, and when they're teaching it, they become the judge, the jury, and everything. Or sometimes we may teach it and we become detectives and try to be, you know, looking into everything else than what we ought not to be looking into. And those things may have their place. But teaching the Word involves knowing what the Word says, letting the Word stay in the forefront, the focal point, and letting it be out front at all times, and getting behind the Word and letting it speak for itself. The responsibility is for us to go and teach others. Teach our family. Teach our children. Teach our brothers and sisters in Christ. Teach our friends and neighbors. All who will listen, the Word is for all. Matthew 28:19-20. Romans 1 is verse 16. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, the Limited Commission, and every example we have in the New Testament is to go and do what? And teach. And when people will teach it and they'll receive it, baptize them into Christ when they're ready. And then once they've been baptized, teach them again and keep teaching them and keep teaching ourselves and keep learning. Well, I've already got past this point. Let always the Word of God be the centerpiece, the focal point of our teaching. And as a preacher, I need to minimize my I think so's. Because I could stand up here for 45 minutes and preach and say, I think so, I think this, I think that. And I've heard a lot of sermons preached in that regard, brethren, over the years. And it's dangerous. Now as a natural thing, some of us are going to say, I believe this and I see this way, and we're going to do that. But we need to minimize our I think so's and our personal speculations and avoid too much of, you know, brother so-and-so thinks this about this. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. What brother so-and-so said may be important, and he may have put some insight in it. He may have wrote some papers on it. He may have a commentary on it, and that's good. But what are we teaching? We're teaching the Word of God. We're teaching the Word of God. And so, be careful. Stay within the subject matter. Try to teach. And I need to keep myself humble. understand that it's a privilege to teach the Word of God. It's an honor to teach the Word of God. Let the Word of God be out front. Get behind it and teach it. And let it be out there for others to see. Give God and His Word the glory for all success that may be happening in the church or in someone's life. When the Word is taught, it will bear fruit. When seed takes hold, it'll bear fruit. Our duty is to sow it. And the Word will do its part. We need to be teachers. It's about the last slide on a few points about preparing. But it is possible that you and I can learn the Word of God so we can teach it to others. It's possible to do that. To where we can teach in some capacity. Some capacity. It may be privately at home. I mentioned earlier it may be that we can teach in a Bible class setting publicly or from the pulpit. But we can teach either privately or publicly in some capacity. But we're not going to be able to do that until we say, I'm willing to learn how to teach, and I'm willing to teach. And I'm willing to take it to the next level, and I'm going to learn all I can. I'm going to study and learn, study and learn, study and learn. Listen and learn, study and learn, and listen in. And I'm going to do my best. Paul told Timothy again to preach the Word. Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go preaching and teaching. Parents are instructed to teach their children. Men and women are told to teach the younger men, the younger women. We're told as brothers and sisters in Christ to edify one another and to teach each other in the church. So teaching is a very important thing. Preparing to teach. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. For by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principle of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. There ought to be a time when Charles Senior gets to the point that he can teach in some capacity. There will come a time, the Lord's willing, and he lives, and things go well, and he matures mentally and physically, that Jacob Weeks will probably be able to teach the Word of God in some capacity. Because, as a Christian, that's what we do. That's what we do. We're teaching by example, and we need to be teaching by Word. So we'll always need to study. We'll always need to learn. We'll always need to listen. We'll always need to grow. But we need to grow in knowledge and grow in grace. We need to be prepared, and we need to stay prepared. Learning how to teach. Wanting to teach. Listening and learning so we can be teachers. So, to sum it up, I just say that I don't have the answers that we all need. God has the answers. But I don't have the answers or the suggestions. But the point of the lesson this evening is this. We've been baptized into Christ. We've received the Word and we're Christians. We have responsibility. We have a duty. We have a privilege. We have opportunities. The time is right for us to teach. Teach your son, your daughter. Teach your grandson, your granddaughter. Teach your neighbor. Teach those who will listen. And try to make opportunities to teach those who will listen. And I want you to notice what I've got underlined. I think this is important points. God has clearly given us all that we need for life and godliness in His Word. He has. We need to study it and learn it. And to be able to teach in some capacity. Everyone will not be able to stand in a pulpit. Every one of us won't be able to stand in front of a class. Every one of us may not be able to sit down privately with someone and then putting questions right back at us and teaching in that capacity. But some may teach in that capacity, some teach in others, some may teach in two or three different capacities. But we need to be teachers. What God does require of us, He doesn't require more of us than we're capable of doing, but He does require of us all that we're capable of doing. And we don't really know our capabilities until we put our best foot forward and say, I'm willing, I'm ready, I'm going to learn, and I'm going to give it a shot. And then we begin to learn what our capabilities may be and how our limitations and sometimes our limitations may be that we can't do as much as someone else. I may not be able to do as much as others, and I know I won't be able to do as much as some. But what He requires of me is that I do all I'm capable of doing. That's what He requires of you. It's a duty, it's a privilege, it's a blessing, it's an opportunity to teach the Word of God. If we want to save souls, it's going to take teaching. If we don't restore the erring, it's going to take teaching. If we want to keep the church strong and faithful and doing what God asks us to do, it's going to take teaching. If we want the world to be better, if we want our nation to be a better place and our communities to be a better place, it's going to take teaching. It's going to take teaching by example, by word, and by deed. Just a few thoughts about teaching this evening. And I commend those who've been teaching and who continue to teach. And I want to encourage you to teach. And before we close the lesson, I want you to understand this also. That if you're not able to get up and teach publicly, God does not require of you more than you can do. It may be that you just need to sit in a class and make a few comments or read a few verses. And that's perfectly fine if that's what you're capable of doing. That's just as important as someone who stands in the pulpit. And it may be even more important because you may be able to put in a comment or a word that brings some unity, that brings some good thought to someone. There's nothing too little to do. And then there's much we can do. So, some will do more, some will do less because of our capabilities. And that's taught in the talents. But let's understand that teaching is the key for God's Word to be shared, for us to grow. Let's study, let's learn, let's study again, and keep on studying. Studying is important. Before we close, I want to take just a couple of minutes and talk about this studying factor. The studying factor, studying the Word of God. When you preach from the pulpit, it takes a lot of hours studying. At least it does for me. Some people will get probably able to get by with less study, and some it takes more. Some of us it takes a lot more study than it does others. But studying the Word of God is important, and we need to try to use the time it takes to study enough so we know what we're talking about when we get ready to talk about it. So we'll be able to deliver it in the right way. And then sometimes, W.A., we can study. And you can study all week long. And you get up and you're going to teach a lesson. And no matter how many notes you got, how well you prepared, it just doesn't flow. Just doesn't flow. But that doesn't mean that study wasn't good. We've got to study. We need to know it. And so we need to work on our studying. We need to work on our delivery, whether it be public or private. If you're here this evening and you haven't obeyed the Word of God, do so. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess Christ, repent of your sins, and be baptized. You can leave this building a child of God, and you can study and learn and go forward teaching someone else what to do to be saved. If you're here this evening and maybe you're a child of God and you've failed in your life and you need to make something correct in a public way, then come back to the Word of God and obey it this evening while you have the opportunity. W.A. is going to lead us in the invitation song. If you're subject in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.